This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yeah, obviously speaking to you and the breaking news coming through about it being extended again, I do think we all saw that coming. 4th of April seemed far too early, but they had to make a decision there. They've done it again, and it just becomes a waiting game again, really, to see if mid-April we have to put that back again. Glad to see that the higher powers are saying that they want the season to finish indefinitely. I think that's a must for everybody involved, whether it's for Liverpool trying to win the title. They don't want it to just happen right now and be crowned champions in front of no fans, that kind of thing. I think football has to resume the season. There's just so many knock-on effects that's going to take place, really, going into next season. Obviously, the Euros have been put back. There's contracts, a big part of things now. Where they're going to fit the games in, how many games, that kind of thing. Just so many talking points.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
That was Bournemouth defender Simon Francis reacting to the news that this season's Premier League is to be extended. Yes, we're on the air. We are still rolling. It's me, Ross. This is On the Ball. And joining me on the phone is Bob Holmes. Bob, how are you keeping?
I'm pretty good, thanks. In fact, I've really felt better, strangely. I hope that's not tempting fate. But I'm feeling pretty good.
Excellent. You're not getting bored staying at home, no?
No, not yet. No. I don't know how long we can sustain this, though. I wouldn't say that another month of this is actually filling me with delight. No, but we'll come on to that.
You can tweet us at BFM Radio. Of course, follow us on social media. It's BFM Football on Instagram and on Facebook as well. So the big news this week, the football bigwigs, representatives from every single club, all met up on Thursday. And the big decision, Bob, is that the FA have extended the season indefinitely in an attempt to finish it. That's the sensible solution, right?
Yeah, it is. I think it was the only option they had, really. Once UEFA had cleared the way by postponing the Euros for a year, which they very kindly did on Tuesday, that enabled all the European leagues to find their own solutions. So I think you have to say, I know we don't do this very often, but the football administrators, it's so far so good. But I think the crunch will come when they meet again and have to decide on the next move. All they're doing now is buying themselves time. Hopefully, they'll use that time to come up with a solution. Because unless there's a breakthrough or something, I don't see them being able to start when they hope to at the end of April. I don't think that is looking realistic right now. So they better come up with some alternatives in the meantime.
Right, yeah. Okay, so tentatively, football, they hope, will resume 30th of April. The authorities will meet up again, I assume, somewhere around mid-April, and they'll decide whether it's looking likely or not. Interesting, Bob. Going into the meeting, I was reading that 14 clubs, it only needed 14 clubs to vote the season void and it would have been voided. But apparently it was unanimous in their commitment to getting their 2019-2020 season finished, which is good.
It is good, including West Ham.
It says here unanimous. I don't know, Karen Brady might have been the one voice.
Yeah. Well, I think that generally speaking, looking at this globally, beyond football's borders now, people have reacted in a reasonably civilized way so far, with two notable exceptions, Karen Brady and the toilet paper fight. And I think somebody must have had a word with her, and she's changed her tune because she was outrageous. Wasn't she? And it looks even more outrageous the longer this goes on, and you see the cooperation and the unanimity that there is out there. But as I say, I don't get too excited. because the tough decisions are still to be made.
Yeah, okay. Well, one of those tough decisions is the fact that contracts will probably have to be extended. I'm sure a lot of players, a lot of managers, their contracts will run out kind of April, May, won't they?
Well, a lot of players, their contracts run out on the 30th of June, which is halfway through the year. I think that they're going to have to have a ruling where contracts can be rolled on. I mean, it's an emergency situation. They're going to have to get the lawyers in and agree, because no transfers are going to be done in these conditions, are they? Players are going to have to continue to play for their existing clubs. And the only way of doing that, if the contract is over, is to roll it on another month. And you wouldn't think that, really, in this day and age, would be that difficult to do, would you?
No, absolutely. All right, let's look at some of the possibilities. So, say, come 30th of April, doesn't look like football can be played, I don't know, maybe into June, July. Do they continue to delay it?
Well, I don't think they can realistically delay it anymore unless they're prepared to start next season much later, or even cut the season down. I mean, there's been talk of copying the South American method, where they have two half seasons, the opening season, they call it, and the closing season, and only playing half the fixtures. So you'd play, like the Premier League, they'd play all the teams, but half of them would be at home and half away. So it literally would be half a season. So it depends whether they want to put priority on completing this season and necessarily mucking up the following season, or whether they give up on this season and hope to start the following season on the normal day, or perhaps slightly delayed.
Yeah, that seems the most sensible option. Well, one of the things mooted is the fact that if it's safe enough for the players, if they're all fit enough, maybe they can play behind closed doors. They're talking something like a game every 2 days to get it done over a short period of time. That's going to be physically draining.
Yeah, it is. And especially after the players have lost fitness, which they're doing now, even if they're working in their own gyms or gyms in their homes or whatever, they're nowhere near going to be match fit or anything like that. So they wouldn't be able to restart the matches immediately anyway. They'd have to give them a week or so to get something like match fit. Otherwise, you're going to get injuries. And then where are you, you know? Yeah, the closed doors thing. I mean, people like Pep in particular have said they don't want to do it. It's not football without fans. That's true. But this is an emergency. I mean, even the two world wars didn't pose as big a problem as this does. I mean, football continued during the Second World War, you know. I mean, people here in Malaysia might not realize this, but in both Britain and Germany, the two main protagonists in Europe, they carried on playing football. I mean, it wasn't officially recognized in the UK, but they had football, and very few top footballers were sent to the front line. They protected them. Bill Shankly played for Arsenal, for example. Now, there's a quiz question for you. Not many people know that, but it's in my book.
Brilliant stuff. Hey, we're spending a show talking about books on Monday. We're going to definitely get you involved, Bob. But that's a precedent. Players playing during World War II. But I mean, yeah, this is different. This is a worldwide pandemic. And realistically, I reckon if you give everybody the option, closed doors or void season, closed doors is it, really?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, very sorry, Karen Brady, but closed doors certainly beats null and void, because the people are going to be able to watch it. That's the thing. They're going to televise every single game, broadcast every game in the UK, so the fans will have football to watch, and boy, will they appreciate it after this. So that's got to be better than not playing at all, hasn't it? I mean, we know it's a weird atmosphere, no atmosphere and all that. Very, very strange. But it's better than nothing. And we could be faced with a situation where it is either that or nothing. And I know which I'd choose. I mean, there is a danger, of course, of that, of the players coming down with the virus. And if one of them had it, then that team wouldn't be able to play, which would mess up the whole thing, wouldn't it? You know, you'd have to cancel one game. I don't know how they'd work out the rules on that, but presumably it would be forfeit if you can't fulfill the fixture. But the other interesting thing about that is what's being talked about to avoid a lot of unnecessary travel is to have these games on neutral grounds in about two or three different cities, probably in the Midlands somewhere, and having more than one game a day being played on the same ground. I mean, the pitches are good enough at that now to get this whole thing done. So that would be a very interesting scenario, and it would be very good for football-starved fans because you'd be having wall-to-wall football day and night to make up. So after this famine, we might be looking at a feast.
Fingers are all crossed. All right, moving on. It's pretty much the same in France. No top flight games in the top two French leagues until at least the 15th of April. That's according to the Ligue de Football president, Nathalie Boyd de la Tour. So it's pretty much the same as England. They have all voted, Bob. The fact that they want to continue the league, suspension is not an option. So it is a case of, like England, it's just wait and see in France as well.
Yeah, they've got a few more cases than England has. It's probably a bit more serious there. But I suppose they're just that more advanced on the curve, aren't they? England has still got the worst to come. I'm pretty sure of that. But yeah, they're approaching it in a similar way. Italy, though, I mean, I've just read this morning where Italy has overtaken China in the number of deaths. I mean, how that's happened, I really don't know. But obviously, it's a far more serious situation there. And I don't think anybody's thinking about resuming playing yet. And Spain also, it's pretty bad, isn't it? But again, I think they'll follow. The first country to act, I think the other countries will be following very closely and looking to see whether their solution works.
Yeah, absolutely. Thoughts go out to everybody in Italy, in Spain, all the worst affected areas. I was reading that in Wuhan, apparently there have been no new infections. Now, if there's any truth in that, that's some hope, good news.
Absolutely, isn't it? Yeah, it does suggest that there is light at the end of the tunnel. But I mean, they did apply drastic measures there, which they've been very reluctant to do in Europe. You know, they've got on their high horse and saying, oh, no, we're a democracy. We don't do this sort of thing and all that. And now look at it. Drastic measures work. And in the UK in particular, they've been pussyfooting around and they're way behind. And that's why they've even had to change tack, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. Pubs are still open, apparently, Bob.
Pubs are still open?
Yeah.
Not in London, I don't think.
Well, up until, I think, yesterday, there are pictures of people drinking in pubs and all that. But yeah, I mean, even in Malaysia, drastic measures might have to be taken. The current order is stay at home. Bob and I hope you are listening to this from your home, because we're recording this from our homes. We're going for our first break. When we come back, we're going to look at what the football authorities are doing to help the current situation. You stay tuned.
Worth a try, and he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the Ball on BFM 89.9.
Deserved a goal, that. Love the return pass. Just wide.
On the Ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. It's Ross here. On the Ball, rolling every Friday throughout these difficult times. We'll be here, we'll be giving you all the latest news, and by we this week, it's Bob Holmes in the house. Hello, Bob.
Hi, everybody.
News, Bob. This week, the EFL, the English Football League, have announced a £50 million relief package for the clubs. It's to help them with their immediate cash flow problems, because in the lower leagues, even in the Championship, a lot of the clubs rely on match day gates, don't they?
Absolutely. And season ticket sales for the coming season too, which there probably won't be too many of those when that happens. People have an impression of total affluence and disgusting wealth when they think of the Premier League, and that's pretty right. But lower down, it's a very different story. There are players earning less than the ordinary wage down in the lower leagues, and in the National League, which is out of the Football League altogether. I mean, it's a real hand-to-mouth situation. And the importance of this, I mean, people might say, well, what does it really matter if Rochdale go to the wall or something like that? Well, it does, because not only do these clubs find young players and bring them on to a certain level before the big clubs snap them up, but they're vital to the communities. And even here in Malaysia, you know, we know that what the clubs or the state clubs mean. In certain states, in particular the East Coast and away from Kuala Lumpur, you take away the state football team, and you're destroying a community. And you know this is going to happen throughout Europe if they're not careful. If the big leagues, the rich leagues that rake in all the broadcasting millions and billions, are not prepared to give a helping hand to these clubs lower down the pyramid, then we're in trouble. The whole game is in trouble. Now, the EFL, that's the English Football League, administer everything below the Premier League. So they haven't got the riches to throw around that the EPL has, but they've given £50 million, which is a start, much appreciated and a fine gesture. But what we're really waiting for is the EPL to show some similar generosity. And I think that would go down very well in society as a whole. It might even be a eureka moment, but I'm not holding my breath. I mean, we're asking a lot of people, such people as the Glazers, for example, to put their hands in their pockets and help a club like Hartlepool or Cheltenham or somewhere like that. You know, I mean, what is it to them? Nothing. But I think if they've got rich off Manchester United, off milking Manchester United all these years, I think it's time they did put something back into the game. So you know, even Roman Abramovich, the much maligned Roman Abramovich, has shown his good side by allowing NHS staff, that's the National Health Service workers, to stay in his hotel to Chelsea Football Ground.
Yep.
I mean, it's a great gesture. He can afford it? Of course he can.
Yep.
But, you know, credit where credit is due. If only more of them did that, then we might be getting somewhere.
Well, stay tuned. We've got a segment right at the end of our show where we've got some feel-good stories, some nice things football have been doing to combat this horrible disease that's happening at the moment. So good news for the EFL, for the championship clubs and the leagues below. £50 million relief package for the clubs. The clubs, apparently, the EFL met in a meeting on Wednesday at their offices, lasted more than 4 hours, and the clubs were all unanimous, like the Premier League, that they want the season completed. Currently, Leeds and West Brom, 7 and 6 points clear, respectively, in the automatic promotion places. They told the league's board that under all circumstances, the season has to be completed. Understandably. Same in Scottish football, Bob. Scottish football authorities forward £1.5 million of funding to help clubs stem the financial effects of the coronavirus outbreak. I know that the figure's a lot less, but that is Scottish football.
Absolutely. That it just reflects the amount of money they get for broadcasting fees, doesn't it, compared to the English League. But it's a gesture. It's all they can afford. I see that Heart of Midlothian, are talking about sacking staff, and they're looking pretty grim there at the moment. They're bottom of the league, looking at relegation, and this is a club that was only saved from oblivion a few years ago. And it's a great old club. It's one of the biggest in Scotland, after Rangers and Celtic, of course. This mood of generosity is being found everywhere. Not everyone expected to see it. I think we were all rather cynical. But as I say, I think the real test is still to come later on, when they have to decide what they're actually going to do if they can't resume playing in a normal fashion.
Yeah, well, some of the other clubs in Scotland, League Two club Elgin United told BBC Scotland that it would be going out of business by the end of May if they don't get financial support. I'm not laughing. It's so sad. I have to chuckle. Partick Thistle, Raith Rovers have Facebook pages, I believe, set up by fans so that they can donate money to ease the financial burden of not playing football. Cowdenbeath, of course, like a lot of clubs, say they can't sell season tickets until they know what happens after the current campaign. So that is the situation gripping all the lower leagues. But Bob, going back to Manchester United, you were saying, I read today, nice gesture, Man United are to pay their match day staff the normal wages, despite, obviously, no football being on. So that's a nice gesture there.
Yeah, it is. Great. I don't know whether that's come from the Glazers or just...
I doubt it, Bob.
We can't give the Glazers any credit for anything, can we?
No.
I mean, credit where it's due. United have been one of the worst offenders, I think, in terms of bullish capitalism and not looking after people. But here's an example of their other side. And I see that Gary Neville is allowing people, not quite sure the story, but opening his hotel to...
Hold that story for a bit, Bob. I want you to hold that story. We'll do that one later.
Okay.
We'll do that later. Just wrapping up
that we have these good stories queuing up, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got to end on a high on our show anyway. So, yeah, just to wrap up this segment then, the English Football League announces a £50 million relief package to help the championship clubs and the clubs in the lower divisions. Scottish football authorities have done pretty much the same. They have forwarded £1.5 million of funding. Some of the Scottish clubs are opening up Facebook pages. Look for your favourite Scottish club and make a donation. A lot of these guys really need help. If you love the game, well, this is what it's all about. We're going for another short break now. When we come back, Bob and I will be talking about Euro 2020.
What about that clearance off the line? How important did that turn out to be in the end?
On the Ball on BFM 89.9.
It is a fine goal.
Fine header, fine goal.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
And we are back. It's me, Ross. This is On The Ball Friday. And you know what? Off The Ball will be on this coming Monday. I've got Bob Holmes on the phone. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. Also follow us on social media. It's BFM Football on Instagram and on Facebook as well. On Tuesday this week, UEFA met up and they announced that Euro 2020 will be postponed until next summer. It's now scheduled to run from 11th June to 11th July 2021. Bob, first up, sensible option because it gives all the domestic leagues time to just finish their business up.
Yeah, sensible, but really the only option, wasn't it? If they'd not done this, they would have been outraged. But they did it, and they cooperated with FIFA and the Copa America, CONMEBOL, I should say, for the association's name. But the Copa America was also supposed to be played this summer, and they tried to avoid a clash, and so they're also postponing. But they've made sure that there won't be any direct head-to-head clash with that, because that's a big tournament as well. I mean, a lot of people here watch the Copa America. The bad news there, or I should say, the players who will regard this as bad news, of course, are the older players, and they'll be wondering whether they'll still be around. On the other hand, you've got injured players who will be quite glad to see it postponed. So we think that Harry Kane might be fit in time for this one.
I wouldn't put your house on it, Bob.
Right. Well, it depends if he has an early season injury next season. But the question of whether Messi will be still as good, a year older, he's 34 now.
Yeah, and then you've got
Ronaldo, 35.
You've got the same problem with contracts again. Managers will have to get contracts extended because a lot of them would run out this summer, right?
Yeah. I don't see so much of a problem with contracts because, as I say, I think they can just roll it on. I mean, we've heard of rolling contracts. Some managers have rolling contracts anyway. I don't see that being too much of a problem. The agents might be a problem. And someone totted up how much money the agents made from EPL transfers last season and came up with a figure of £261 million. Now, if that were distributed to the lower league clubs, you'd be making quite a difference, wouldn't you? Well, of course, no one's expecting all or even a big chunk of it, but it does highlight the discrepancy in the wealth here. We're talking about clubs having to fold, close down. Barnet have already let 60 employees go, right, already, you know, despite what is going on. And yet the agents are making £261 million between them. Famously, Mina Raiola's Pogba's agent made $40 million out of that transfer to Manchester United and bought Al Capone's house with it. It does suggest that there should be a reset here in football finances in particular. And if there's ever going to be an opportunity to do that, then it's now. But whether it'll happen, I don't know. So far, so good. As we said earlier, there does seem to be a spirit out there of help thy neighbor type of thing, but the crunch is still to come. And with agents, you're dealing with some of the more disreputable people in the game, and asking them to even take a small percentage off their fees for basically photocopying a standard form is probably going to be asking too much.
Good, yeah, agents. We could actually do a whole show just on agents.
It wouldn't be a feel-good story either.
No, it would not. It would not. Now, the European Championship qualifying playoffs, scheduled to begin in March, have provisionally been moved to June. These, of course, include the two-legged ties between Scotland and Israel, Northern Ireland and Bosnia, Republic of Ireland and Slovakia. So a lot of British interest there. Friendly international matches due to be played this month, obviously pushed back into June. UEFA says they've got a group working on calendar solutions that will hopefully allow the completion of the current season. And as Bob mentioned, CONMEBOL, the Copa America, due to take place 12th June, 12th July, has now also been postponed to 2021. You know, postponing the Euros to next year does clash at the moment. I can tell you that it clashes with the Women's Euro Championship, also due to take place next summer. Not good, but...
Yeah, well, not good, but it's going to clash with something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apart from that, it was a relatively fallow year. And I mean, Euros always goes with the Olympics. I mean, the Olympics, that's another story, isn't it? What they're going to do with that. But I think next year, postponing by 1 year, virtually the same dates, I think that's sensible. And when they're talking about resetting calendar, the first thing that should go is this crazy World Club Cup championship that FIFA is talking about, with 24 teams and vast amounts of money, Saudi Arabian money, and that is going to clash with the Champions League. I mean, that's the first thing that should go. They should get rid of that straight away.
Yeah,
you can't see it happening, can you?
No.
But really, that is the outstanding issue here. I think they could, if it wasn't for that, they could sort it out.
Well, that tournament Bob's talking about, the Club World Cup, FIFA have announced that it is temporarily postponed. It was due to take place in China, June 2021, like Bob says, with 24 teams expanded, and it would have clashed with the Champions League final. So crazy, crazy stuff. But let's give you some good news. FIFA actually announced that the organization is set to donate $10 million, that's £8.3 million, to the World Health Organization COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund. So that's good, and they can sure as heck afford it, can't they, Bob?
They certainly can. I mean, these are gestures. So far, fine. And it was all done in a good spirit. The meetings went very well, both the EPL meeting and the UEFA meetings. And there was unanimity, which is slightly surprising.
I know.
Given the state of things.
I
don't know how long it's going to last.
I saw pictures of them all smiling together, Bob. It was weird.
Thought they'd be fighting, didn't you?
Exactly.
On a sort of darker note, though, behind all this, the top six clubs in the championship who are pushing for promotion to the gravy train of the English Premier League, that's the top two, Leeds and West Brom, and the next four places, which includes my own club, Nottingham Forest, they have all threatened to sue the league if the season is nulled and voided, and they've kept their powder dry on that so far because of the postponement, but they say they're going to do that. Whether Leeds and West Brom would stick with the other four is another matter, because one solution is to have those top two actually promoted to an expanded Premier League,
yeah,
and have 22 teams in it with no relegation.
That's like the good old days.
Lurking behind all the smiles is a genuine threat of legal action. So, you know, let's not count our chickens.
That is the sad side of football. But 22 clubs, Bob, is just like the good old days. It's like the first division again.
Yeah.
The younger listeners are looking at their radios now going, huh?
There's got to be some give and take. Whatever happens here, some clubs will suffer. And it's unfortunate. But I think they just have to look at it and think, well, in a global pandemic, there's always somebody suffering more than us. If they can still survive and play football in the summer, late summer or autumn, then they're a lot luckier than many people. So I think they just have to look at it like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, off for our final break. You stay tuned now. Coming back with some very good football stories. Football versus COVID-19 next.
Fine save by the goalkeeper, spreading himself.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
He cannot win a title without an outstanding goalkeeper, and he's been absolutely brilliant.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, welcome back. Ross and Bob here on the ball every Friday until football comes back. We hope, he says with his fingers crossed. Follow us on social media. It's BFM Football on Instagram and on Facebook. And of course, if you're really, really bored, then you can listen to all our older shows, all available at bfm.my. Search On the Ball or Off the Ball. Bob, football versus COVID-19, some feel-good stories to wrap up this week's show. Borussia Mönchengladbach from the Bundesliga, their players have offered to forego their wages with the German Football League, warning that the pandemic could affect thousands of jobs. They've done it. I believe the team manager and the managing director, most of the board have done it as well, so that the other members of staff in Borussia Mönchengladbach can get their pay, like the tea ladies and the boot boys and all that.
Yeah, outstanding gesture, isn't it? And hopefully one or two other clubs will follow. German football has always been a rather more democratic and socialist operation than than English football, hasn't it? They have this 50+1 arrangement with ownership in place and all that, and they keep the prices down, the rail fares are down, the price of beer in the grounds is reasonable. All this stuff is sort of unheard of in England, where football fans are really milked at every corner. And a fine gesture. And I think it'll probably need a few more in Germany to follow before it goes outside the country. Fine example. And, it may just catch on. You never know. We've been underestimating the human spirit a little bit so far. We've been pleasantly surprised. Let's hope it continues.
It's a story that's taken, making Germany feel good as well. Coach Marco Rose and the club's directors have all followed suit. The German Football Association, the DFB, said that the national team would donate 2.5 million euros, 2.3 million pounds, to help fight the coronavirus crisis in the country. Again, that's a great example of football doing what it can to give back.
Yeah. It's a start, and everybody's reading about all this, looking at what other countries are doing. I think people are more interested in what's happening in other countries than they normally are, just to see how this virus progresses. They may take up the baton in other places, hopefully so.
The German football industry currently employs 56,000 people. To England, former Manchester United and England defender Gary Neville, along with his partner Ryan Giggs. Now, Bob actually alluded to this story earlier on. That Ryan Giggs and Gary Neville are joint owners in two hotels in Manchester, the Stock Exchange and the Football Hotel. And they, Bob, have opened up their hotels, freeing 176 beds for the National Health Service and other medical staff. That is superb.
Yeah, it is. Gary Neville, controversial figure, but I think he's shown that his heart is in the right place with this gesture. And it's right in the heart of Manchester, very key place in terms of fighting this virus. Got huge hospitals there. And, of course, the medical staff are working morning, noon and night, and they can't all get back to their homes. So having a place in the centre of Manchester to doss down for a few hours' sleep is very handy. Well done, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely. We need more people to do the same. Can you imagine if the Hilton announced, I don't know, a few rooms in every town? That would be superb. Early on Monday, Chelsea also announced a similar move. They've also opened up their club hotel to NHS staff. So that's feel-good factor all around. Let's wrap up with this story. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, everybody's favorite Swede, Bob. He's launched a fundraiser to help fight the coronavirus. And he's called on fellow footballers to help kick this virus away. Let's hear what Zlatan has to say.
Hi, I'm Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Italy has always given me so much, and in this dramatic moment, I want to give back even more to this country that I love. I decided, together with the people who are working with me, to create a fundraiser for humanity's hospitals and to use my communication power to spread the message wider. It's a serious issue, and we need a concrete help that's not just about a video. I count on the generosity of my colleagues, of all professional athletes, and of those who want to make a small or large donation according to their possibilities to kick this virus away.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic, currently an AC Milan striker playing in Italy, the country so far worst affected by the pandemic, even more than China. It appears that Ibrahimovic, Bob, has made two €50,000 donations. So that's about $100,000 he's put towards his fundraiser that he's kicked off.
Yeah, good on him, yeah. I just wonder if he has to pay anything to maintain his statue, because it's been damaged a few times, hasn't it? It seems to have attracted a lot of attention, that statue. Not everyone is a fan of Zlatan's, anyway, he's made a great gesture here when, we have to give him credit for that.
Well, he's got millions of followers on social media, and an hour after he posted that video of what you just heard, the fund raised €109,652. That's an hour after the post. So that's the effect that these superstars can actually have, right?
Yeah, incredible. Well, I mean, the likes of Pogba have a similar number of followers, don't they? I mean, if they were all to do that, actually, they don't have to contribute very much themselves. They just have to do that, kick it off. Obviously, it's better if they do. But, you can't guarantee them all doing it, can you? But there you are. It shows the potential. And it would be... it's serious money. I mean, if all these guys could raise £100,000 in, what, an hour, that is not bad going by any standards, is it, for fundraising? So, yeah, you're not going to find the vaccine, but you're at least going to ease some pain among some people who are suffering either loneliness or whatever. So it's a very positive gesture.
Absolutely. Well done, Zlatan, and all involved. That's about it for now. Currently in Malaysia, the stay-at-home order is in effect, so don't be a dum-dum. Be like Bob and I. We are staying at home. And with that, Bob, I'm going to say thanks for everything today. You stay safe and look after the missus.
Yeah, she's all right. And everybody else, stay at home and stay safe.
Indeed. We're going to wrap up the show with Zlatan being Zlatan. Everybody stay safe and we'll speak to you on Monday. Bye now.
Together we can really help hospitals and doctors and nurses who selflessly work every day to save our lives. Because today we are the ones cheering for them. Let's together kick the coronavirus away and win this match. And remember, if the virus don't go to Zlatan, Zlatan goes to the virus.
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is now.
Follow BFM Football on Facebook and catch On the Ball next Friday on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.